I started a series of messages a few weeks ago that I'll conclude tonight. I started talking about what in the world is going to happen next. What in the world is going to happen next? Message number one was, there's an event going to happen bigger than the presidential election. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm grateful he's not coming on a donkey or an elephant. Amen? He's coming on a white horse as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Message number two was America out and the Antichrist in. That's what's going to happen. I want to talk to you today a message that every person needs to hear. Every person needs to hear this message. It's the four horsemen of the book of Revelation. You need to hear this message because this message is going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. And it's going to be delivered in a way in which you can understand. I was preaching one night, and I finished preaching, and a lady met me at the door. I forget which state I was in. And she said, Dr. Tate, I want to thank you. I said, sis, for what? She said, I want to thank you for coming down on our level so we can understand the Bible. I said, ma'am, you've missed it. I didn't have to travel anywhere. I'm on your level. I'm on your level. And so I want you to understand what we're sharing today. I want you to understand scriptures that you'd say I never understood before, but I did after hearing Brother Benny preach. And whatever you do, tonight's a very important message because it deals with you. I want you to take your Bible, no matter which campus you're in. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. The only book, folks, that we're promised a blessing. You're promised a blessing if you read and study this book. The only book. So today, you're promised a blessing because you're reading and you're studying and you're trying to understand this book. Notice what verse 1 says. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Folks, you hear often that the Lord's coming. That the Lord's coming and Christian people will go to heaven with him. But here's a question that we ask. Pastor Benny, where are we right now in the Bible? Where are we? Show me where we are today in 2016. We're at Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. This is the church. This is the world we live in. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's the status of the church, folks. For the most part, we serve God when it's convenient. That's the status. We're rich and increased with goods. We don't acknowledge our desperate need for God. And folks, let me tell you something. We need God more than we need anything else. We need God more than we need anything else. Now, what's the response of God? What's the response of God to the church? You jump down a couple verses in Revelation 3 and 20. Folks, this wasn't written to lost people. This was written to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man heareth my voice and open the door, I'll come in with him. I'll sup with him and he with me. Somebody said, we need God back in our schools. We need God back in our government. We need God back in the law enforcement agency. Get real, folks. We need God back in the church. We need God back in the church. We need God. God's wanting back in the church. He's wanting it to become about him instead of about everything else. That's where we're at. You say, well, Pastor, what happens? In Revelation chapter 4, you can read it. Revelation 4 and 1, the rapture of the church takes place. And those of us that know the Lord, we're gone. Those of us that know Christ, we're gone. A celebration takes place in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. A wonderful celebration is taking place in heaven. But then, ladies and gentlemen, we come to Revelation 6. And that's the beginning of the tribulation period. And what happens, Pastor Benny? I'm not going to preach long. What's going to happen during the tribulation period? What happens once we're gone, Pastor Benny? Explain to me. Well, first of all, there'll be the first horse. The first horse is going to come on the scene. Remember, we're talking about the four horsemen of Revelation. The first horse is going to come on the scene. And you got to understand, folks, in the book of Revelation, it's symbolic. To understand it, you've got to see it symbolically. If you read it literally, you'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. But the first horse comes on the scene. And the Bible says this. The first horse is a white horse. It symbolizes a militant conquest. Notice this horse comes on the scene to conquer, and he's conquering. You say, well, Pastor, this horse, this white horse, has got to be Jesus Christ. No, no, no. This horse is not Jesus Christ, because notice his weapon is a bow, but he doesn't have arrows. That tells me he's not all-powerful. Jesus is all-powerful. But you've also got to understand his weapon was a bow. And in Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus comes back on the white horse, his weapon is a sword. So the rider of this horse, ladies and gentlemen, he's not Jesus Christ, but he's the Antichrist. And after the church is raptured out, this world leader, the Antichrist, is going to come on the scene. You say, Pastor, who's he going to be? We won't know, because the church is going to be gone. But we know some things about this man. And by the way, he's going to be a man. Number one, he'll be an intellectual genius. According to Genesis 8 and 23, he'll be an intellectual genius. Number two, he'll have great speaking skills. According to Daniel 11 and 36. Number three, he'll be physically strong. A muscular. I mean, you no doubt, according to Daniel 7 and 20, when you look at this gentleman, it will be so obvious that he's been in the weight room, kind of like what you're looking at today. Number four, according to Daniel 11 and 37, he'll be a homosexual. He'll have no regard for woman. Number five, he'll be a religious genius. According to Revelation 13 and 8, all those that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Mohammed, Allah, Buddha, Confucius, that never happened before. But this man is literally going to be a religious genius that all those on the earth will worship him. That don't accept Christ. See, there's going to be a militant conquest. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. According to Daniel 9 and 27, he'll sign a covenant with Israel to protect them. If you go to Israel with me, and many of you have been, how is it in Israel? They live in fear every day. There's a wall around Israel because they live in fear of Arab nations destroying them. He'll come on the scene. He'll sign a covenant, a 7-year covenant with Israel, according to Daniel 9 and 27, to protect them. But in the middle of that covenant, he'll break it. And he'll demand only he or his image be worshiped. It's going to be a militant conquest, ladies and gentlemen. But I want you to know something else, folks. There'll be murderous conflicts. See, the first horse that walks up is a white horse. But the next horse that comes on the scene is a red horse. And the number, the word red in the Bible, represents bloodshed. So what the Bible is telling us, ladies and gentlemen, is during the tribulation period, there'll be continual bloodshed. Think about this. There was a time that only America and the Soviet Union had nuclear powers. But that time is past. Iran, who refers to Israel as the little Satan and America as the big Satan, Iran has 34 nuclear power sites. France has nuclear weapons. China, India, Pakistan, North Korea, Israel has 200 nuclear weapons, and they're prepared to use them should they be attacked. So when John saw this red horse, he saw continual war. But folks, he saw not only war, he saw nuclear war. Because according to Revelation 8 and 7, hail and fire will fall from the sky, mingled with blood. And one third of all trees will be burned up. All the grass will be burned up. Revelation 8 and 8 said a great ball of fire will fall. And one third of the sea will be turned to blood. John was seeing a nuclear war. In Zechariah 14 and 12, Zechariah prophesied a nuclear war when people's flesh would literally be consumed while they stand on their feet. Their tongues would be consumed in their mouths and their eyes would melt in their sockets. What's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen? There's going to be a militant conquest. There's going to be murderous conflicts. But let me share something with you. There's going to be meager crops. See, there's a third horse that's going to step up on the scene. That third horse is a black horse. And according to Lamentations chapter 5, verse 10, when black's mentioned, it represents famine. It represents people literally starving to death. During the Great Depression, 5,000 banks went out of business. Home building dropped by 80%. 13 million people became unemployed. But I want to report to you folks, according to verses 5 and 6, this period of time will make the Depression seem like a Sunday school picnic. Because a man will work all day for a quart of wheat. In biblical times, if a man worked all day, he received 8 quarts of wheat. But 2,000 years later, a man will work all day from sunup to sundown, and his salary will be a quart of wheat. Millions on top of millions will starve to death. A terrible time for a person to be here. What's amazing, there'll be little babies born during this time. And Matthew 24 and 19 says, woe to them that are in child, to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. I want to ask you something, folks, and I'm going to move on to point number 4. These guys that preach, and all they preach is happy clappy. How can you do that and then preach the entire Word of God? I don't want to offend anybody, folks, but I'm not going to stand before God one day and God say to me, Benny, why didn't you preach the whole Bible? This may not be the most exciting message that you've ever heard, but at least you've got a preacher that's willing to preach the entire Word of God. Not only militant conquest, not only murderous conflicts, not only meager crops, but folks, I want you to see the manifold carnage. Look what verse 8 says. There's a fourth horse. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. That word pale comes from the Greek word chloros. And we get the terminology chlorine or chlorine gas are chemicals of mass destruction. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name that sat on him was called Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him, unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword. One fourth of all people will die. And with hunger, starve to death. And with death. And with the beast of the earth. It's believed that the beast will become more ferocious during this time. Robert Oppenheimer, who developed the first atomic bomb, said this. He said, the next nuclear war, none of us can count on having enough living to bury the dead. The militant conquest, the murderous conflicts, the meager crops, the manifold carnage. What about Christians, Pastor Benny? What about people that are here and they accept Christ? What's going to happen to them? What if that man or woman's here? And that man or woman says, I'm not going to accept the mark of the beast. I'm not going to become a follower of the Antichrist. I'm not going to accept the mark of the beast. I'm just not going to do it. First of all, it's going to be awful difficult not to do it. But what's going to happen? Martyred Christians. Look what verse 9 says. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. What's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. You said, Brother Benny, I'm not going to get saved now. I'm going to wait till later. Well, what it's going to mean later, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, yes, I can accept Christ. But in all likelihood, I'll be beheaded for the cause of Christ. She said, wait, Pastor. This is a question that I've often been asked a lot of times. Do people in heaven know what's going on earth? Do people in heaven know what's happening on earth? Well, folks, these people who gave their life for Christ, they're now with the Lord. But look what verse 10 says. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? These people that were with the Lord in heaven, you believe what you want to believe. But they knew what was going on earth. They knew what was happening, even though they was in heaven. Here's what's amazing, folks. This is what we get. The Bible says this. It says some people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, sometimes, folks, we go off to school or we become intellectual and the Word of God doesn't make sense anymore. And almost we know more than God knows. But I want to give you something to think about. This book was written by 40 different men. 3 different languages. 3 different continents. Over a 1,500 year period. And not one contradiction in it. Try to put 40 of us men together. Get real. You can't even get along with your wife, let alone 39 other men. Well, why, Pastor? Why does it make sense? Why does it work out? I don't care what your intellectual status is. The Bible's true. The Bible's true. And I'm going to stick with the Word of God. Here's what's so amazing. There's a chapter, and I'm almost done. Thank you. There's a chapter in Matthew 24. And I'd never noticed this. Perhaps you have. But Matthew, not John, who wrote the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. Many of you have been to the Isle of Patmos with me, where John wrote this book. But I started reading this week, Matthew chapter 24, and I'm done. But notice what it says. Jesus was telling the people what was going to happen in the end. And Matthew wrote it down. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. I looked at that verse. And I said, oh God, there's the militant conquest. Just like you told John. There's the militant conquest in verse 4 and 5. And then I jump down to verse 6. Notice what it says. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. I said, oh God, there's the murderous conflicts. And then I jump down to verse 7. And it says, there shall be famines. I said, oh God, there's the meager crops. And then I read on about pestilences and earthquakes. I said, oh God, there's the manifold carnage. And then I've jumped down to verse 9. It says, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. I said, God, there's the martyred Christians. Folks, the Bible makes sense after all. Now, what's the message? Here's the message, folks, and I'm done. The musicians are playing softly. Here's the message. If you're not right with God, get right with the Lord. You say, Pastor Benny, you're trying to scare me. Hey, listen, if I can scare you to get right with God, I want you right with God. What we better realize, folks, is Jesus Christ is coming back, and I don't want to be here. Jesus Christ is coming back, and I don't want to be here. And so you want to know unequivocally. Brother Benny, I think so. I joined the church. Let me tell you something. Joining the church is not enough. You need to know that your heart's right with Christ. You need to know. You need to know that you know that you know. I want to know that I'm right. Now, what's the message for the rest of us, folks? Let me tell you the message for the rest of the church. Folks, we need to get serious. Barbara and I have more family members that probably don't know Christ than know Christ. We probably have more family members today that are not in church that are in church. I don't want them to go through what I've been preaching about today. So it's time for us to get serious. And then tonight, how's this going to end, Brother Benny? It's going to end with a battle of Armageddon. And we're going to come back, and I'm going to show you how all this is going to wrap up, and I'm going to show you what's going to happen in your life for 1,000 years. I'm going to show you what's going to happen in your life for 1,000 years. And I'm not some psychic or fortune teller that's going to charge you either. I'm just going to show you from the Word of God what's going to happen. Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.